Hello, everybody, and welcome to Yachting International Radio. You've tuned in to Tailor Tech Stories. And today I'm with Yelta from Savvy Navi. Yelta, if you would like to introduce yourself so we all know what you currently do, and then we'll rewind the clock into your career and go through everything like that.
Sure. So my name is Yelta. As Ben said, I'm the CEO and founder of Savvy Navi. And yeah, that's me, really.
Okay, and just very briefly, what does Savvy Navi do?
Sure. So Savvy Navi is kind of like the Google Maps for sailors. If you want to get from A to B, we help you get there as easy as possible without you having to juggle like five different apps to do so.
Right, perfect. So there you are now. Let's rewind the clock. So you're coming out of education, whether that's college, school, or university. Where do you begin?
You want to go back that far? So that's like in the 80s. And no, I'm kidding. So I did a computer science degree in the Netherlands. I'm Dutch, hence the weird name. And then I moved to Sweden, where I did my master thesis. From there, I went to London and joined a company called Symbian, which might be familiar for those who know anything about mobile phones. It was predating the iPhone. And worked there for about, I think, 4 or 5 years, something like that, before I joined a company called QuickOffice, which made mobile mobile office suite for mobiles. Did that for a while and then joined Google at the end of that. Worked at Google for about 5 years. And during Google, and this is where it gets a little bit more interesting, I took a bit of a sabbatical to do the clip around the world yacht race. So back in 2014 now, I sailed from San Francisco through Panama to New York. And really, basically in the middle of the Pacific is where the idea for Savvy Navi started, because it was howling, the boat was heeled over like 30 degrees. I was down below holding on with one hand, trying on the computer to figure out how best to get to Panama from a navigation perspective, and really was baffled by how difficult that was, right? Instead of what you now know at Google Maps or anywhere else, if you want to figure out how to get to Moscow, you click a pin and within a second, Google tells you the best routing directions, tells you where there's traffic or anything else, right? And that's normal to us now. But if you think 15 years ago, and like if you were living in London or anywhere else, well, let's say London, everybody had an A to Z in their pocket, right? That was normal. But if you think about it now, you go, why would I have an A to Z? I've got Google Maps or Apple Maps or anything really, right? What I found on the boat down to Panama is that it was much like the land-based navigation was like 15 years ago. So instead of just being able to say, I want to get to Panama, tell me the best route. Should I go, you know, offshore or stay close to shore? Is the wind better here? Is the ocean current better there? I had to figure this all out manually. You have to have like a grid file that you overlay on top of a chart and figure out where the hazards are. And all this stuff was really a manual process while I'm like hanging on in this boat, right? So that's kind of where I thought of Savvy Navi and figured there should be a Google Maps for sea, right? For boating, not just sailing, but also motorboating. Then I came back to Google, thought more about it for a long time and started talking to other sailors and boaters. And really trying to figure out if this is something people want or if it's just like me, and realize that a lot of people are just kind of like intimidated to get out on the water, which is a shame because it's you know, it's really nice to get out on the water. But even people who like here in the UK, they got their day skipper certificate, they're ready to go, but they don't want to sail in the Solent because, oh my God, if I get the tidal calculations wrong, I'll have a problem. And it really shouldn't be that hard, right? So 2017, fast forward a bit, I left Google to start Savvy Navi. We've been going out for 3 years and have over 60,000 registered users around the world. So that's the short 5 minutes of my history there.
Okay, and when you go back to Google after this trip and have kind of realization, was there some kind of event or where did you decide to draw the line and say, actually, I'm going to leave one of the leading tech companies of the world where I'm looked after quite nicely, and I'm going to enter the startup grind and really shake up this space?
Yeah, there's a reason it took a couple of years for me to do that, because you're right. Google is a very, very nice place to work as an engineer. You're treated like a king. Can't complain about the salary, let's just put it that way. And the startup world is quite a bit different, right, from that. So I think the real thing, so I was still in San Francisco when I did the race and when I came up with the idea. But then I became a dad and we moved back to the UK. Still at Google, worked at Google from the King's Cross office. And I think it was just, I think about a year into that, I was doing a commute still. And this is obviously pre-COVID, 2 hours each way, door to door. So I found myself 4 hours a day on a train. And yeah, you can work on the train, whatever, but it's tricky. It's not great. And I didn't really get to see my son, right? Which is a bit weird, because normally if you leave a nice corporate job or whatever to do startup, that's it. Like you're not going to see your family, you know, working 20 hour days or whatever. I don't think it has to be that way. And it hasn't been for me. In fact, it's been the opposite, right? Because I started working on my own and effectively from the bedroom initially. And now again, I got to see my son, right? So I got to actually, you know, have breakfast with my son, come home early to have dinner with my son. So it was a bit of a life work balance change as well. And yeah, it was at that moment, I think it was a particular moment, I kept on thinking about Savvy Navi, thinking about it, playing with it, ideas left, right, and center. And then at one point I was on the train into the office thinking, I'm not enjoying this. I'm thinking about doing this other thing while I'm commuting every day to London. I want to do something else. So that's when I decided to jump in the deep end, shall we say.
Right, okay. And now you're stuck with your son. Now you can't get away from it.
Yeah, now it's the opposite. Now it's the opposite. I've told him this morning that daddy's doing an interview, so hopefully he won't barge in, but you never know.
It's fine. So when you start out, what are the first steps? Because I speak to quite a lot of companies that are in not necessarily this space, but in a kind of, we've got this app that's going to revolutionize boating and be very different and huge, but their strategies to market are quite interesting. So when you come from a corporate and something that's already built, and then jump into the startup scene, kind of are you go around to boat shows? Are you building a network like that? Is it partnerships? Is it direct? What kind of started this in terms of getting afloat? Pun absolutely.
Yeah. it's a really good question. And I think it depends heavily on if you're trying to build a B2C product versus a B2B, right? So we're B2C. So for us, by far and away, the most important thing was finding product market fit, right? Making sure that this idea that I dreamt up in the middle of the Pacific, is that actually solving a problem, right? I was on a 70-foot race sailboat in the middle of the Pacific. There's not many people doing that, right? So that's not what Savvy Navi is about. So you got to find out what that problem is that you're solving. You got to talk to your customers and understand and try and test. And so very early on, like within months, we had a beta product out to just get it out to anybody who wanted to test it and try it and give us feedback. And that was absolutely crucial. And we course corrected, pun intended, a few times to make sure that we got that product right. If you're doing B2B, I think it'd be a different story, right? Then you are going to boat shows and you're talking in the industry, talking to other people about whatever the product or service is that you're doing. For us, that didn't really make sense. Going to a boat, I mean, we did go to a boat show, but you cannot talk to as many people there as you can just online and just getting your stuff out there and getting feedback from the end user. So I think for us, that was the key first phase, just to get the idea solid. Then we did a crowdfunding round that went viral and went really well for us. But again, we made sure that we were not going to, a lot of people then go, oh, you've got some MVP, some minimal viable product, go growth. And I think that's wrong, because it's an MVP for a reason. It's a minimum product, right? What you want is something that can scale if it's a good product, right? So we spent a long time perfecting the product before we really wanted to move to growth. So yeah, I think long story short, I think talking to people and understanding what it is they want, understanding what it is they need, and making sure that you build that, and that you don't, you know, keep your blinkers on going, I want to build this thing for a 70-foot sailboat in the middle of the Pacific, versus what does the market really need? What should we be building?
Hey, that's a great lesson. So just to finish off and round up, we now know how you got to this point. What's your kind of vision for the next few years, and what you're looking to become in the future?
Wow, it's a good time to ask that question, isn't it? You know, we're in the midst of COVID at the moment. It's a little bit bizarre, because I'm generally an optimist. My co-founder is the pessimist and I'm the optimist. We balance each other out quite nicely. But I feel really awkward being very optimistic at the moment, because, you know, the numbers are pretty dire in the UK. You've got this new strain and everything going on. However, there are a lot of things to be optimistic about, right? So in the boating industry, I think everybody knows boat sales have gone through the roof. Everybody is moving toward boating. The average age of boaters is dropping. These are all very positive signs for the industry. And we see it in our like user database and our feedback that we get from people, people really ready to get back out on the water, or even new people getting out on the water. And that's really what we like to see, because the whole point of Savvy Navvy is removing the intimidation factors and the barriers for people to get out on the water. So I'm really optimistic about that. And obviously with vaccines now rolling out, next 2 or 3 months will make a massive difference, I think, which is great, because that's obviously just as the sailing season starts in the summer and the spring. So I think we'll see a really big boom this year for people recreational boating to get out throughout the world, not just, you know, the UK, not just Europe, but even in the US and other places. So I'm really really excited about that. And I think if you look a little bit longer than that, you only need to look at like the automotive industry or anything else, where you see a lot of innovation happening at the moment with regards to greener technologies and electricity. We see electric boats and things like that really popping up. So I think there's going to be a big shift towards a greener, more sustainable type of recreational marine boating industry. Which I'm really excited about, because I think there's a lot of tech opportunities, a lot of things that you can do that previously weren't even thought about that we're looking at building now. So yeah, I guess that's the future. That's what I'm hoping for anyway.
And now I see why you're the optimist in the whole co-founder dynamic.
Dreamer, optimist, whatever. I do believe that it's moving in the right direction, right? We've had a tough year. There's no denying it. There's been tough year. Yes, boat sales are through the roof, but just even on a personal level, right? Sitting in a room like this and having your 4-year-old jumping on your neck all the time, it's not easy. It's not easy for everybody. But I think there's light at the end of the tunnel, and I'm excited about it.
All right, Jelte, thank you so much for coming on the show. Hearing your story.
Not a problem.
Is actually quite inspiring and really insightful, and I hope our audience kind of gains from it and embraces this optimism for the future. I like that.
Thank you for having me. It's been great.
Okay, thank you everybody for tuning in to Yachting International Radio. This has been Taylor Tech Stories, and I will be back next week with the next guest to hear their career journey. And bye for now.